Hello, big thinkers. Welcome to another Big Think Mailbag. We've got the full crew here. We've got Bob.
I've got mail.
From Gigaboots. We've got KZ.
I open letters.
From KZExcellent.com. We've got Mr. Feel.
Mail detected, opinion tolerated.
From Mr. Feel's Wild Ride. And Dr. Agro from Dr. Agro.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail.
Mail.
Well, let's get started. We got an email from J.A., who says, "Hello, Gigaboots crew. My freshman year of college, I enrolled in an elective course named History in Video Games. I thought it said History of Video Games. I figured this was going to be a course about the history of video games. Instead, it was more focused on how video games portray history. Our first project was to research the Tiananmen Square Massacre and design a video game about it."
What?
My question for you all is, did you ever get assigned a school project that just left you wondering what the hell the teacher was thinking?
Oh, man, that question was a left turn into safety.
Right?
They're like, "Now you will design your video game right now."
Oh, no, they inflicted an armchair devs on us.
Right? Kiwami in the mailbag.
This email just says Kiwami. That's it. Just this one word.
Gun.
I'm going to tell this story real quick. It parallels your story, but not as absurd in the same direction. Bob and I take a programming course to the newly added IT part of our high school. In the last year of us being in high school, they finally get an IT wing. There's a programming course. Bob and I take it. Teacher didn't teach us fucking shit the whole semester. Actually, the whole year. And then at the end, they go, "Make a game." And everyone in the class just goes, "What are you talking about? Make a game." This is the same teacher, by the way, where he said something. He gave us some assignment, and then he realized that didn't make sense because he didn't give us the tools at all for it. And someone in the class just fairly calmly goes, Schumann. Yeah, Schumannba. Because he put his first initial at the end of his name.
Yeah, you're thinking of Dan Shugart.
Yes. Schumannba. Anyways, the fucking kid in the class, he just very calmly goes, "Mr. Schumann, you're the worst teacher ever." And he goes, "I know." that was great. Didn't go well. Maybe at the end of a programming course that is in visual, basic. Don't just be like, "Make a whole ass video game. I didn't teach you how to make a calculator." Yeah, no, that the way he said that stuck with me all these years. He knew with absolute certainty he was a bad teacher. He had the tone the whole year. I mean, like, "This is my first year teaching. I have no idea what I'm doing. This is new fucking week of this high school. What the hell's going on?" And then that was like the breaking point 85% through the year.
"I told you nothing. Make a video game."
Yeah, no, it was bad.
Did you make a video game?
Yeah, Bob and I made a video game. Funnily enough, the modules couldn't pass certain values between each other. So my girlfriend at the time's brother, younger brother, helped us stitch them together. But it was a dungeon exploration game, kind of like Eye the Beholder on SNES. It was funny. Funny as in Bob got to do art for enemies. And he did the battle module, and I did the dungeon exploration module, which worked mostly.
Mostly. They mostly work together.
Apparently, if you go to this square in the dungeon and you turn right, it just stops rendering new fields. Who even knows why it does that? I don't, but hopefully they don't check that in the middle of this grade. Yeah, as you can imagine, that floored the teacher because, of course, he didn't teach us how to make a fucking game. So most people turned in things that were, it would be generous to call them a video game. That is,
they had a title screen.
Man, I can't remember what anyone else did. I just remember ours.
Guess the number, and you hit the button, and it gives you a random number from 1 to 100.
If I remember correctly, they had the energy of the world's smallest version of Myst with no good art. Or it's like 8 screens. You get to choose 2 choices each, thus this game is 3 screens long.
Wasn't there someone in our class who was like, "Yeah, I use Flash, so I just made a game in that and turned it in."
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. That was
nobody busted out RPG Maker.
That year was fantastic. What a great course. Hey, let's move on to other people. Does anyone else have an absolutely absurd assignment by a teacher?
Well, for background, I'm trying to remember. Dan, you can help me out with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember whether it was freshman or sophomore year of English.
Oh, no.
I think it was sophomore.
And, like, you were there sophomore year. Did we do Of Mice and Men in that class?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, then it was sophomore year of English. We were doing Of Mice and Men as part of the module.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the book, there was an essay assigned, which was, it was phrased as pretend... you are George's defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
In the trial he's in after he shoots Lenny in the back of the head. Spoilers for Of Mice and Men.
I'm gonna need to make sure I put that in the timestamps.
You need to put that in the title, but Of Mice and Men spoiler cast.
I remember it's sophomore year of high school being so completely flabbergasted. Like, this is the dumbest, most some computer came up with, most what the fuck are you even talking about? How does this even, that I didn't do it. I wrote a 2-page essay on how dumb the assignment was and turned it in and got an A and realized that this bitch hasn't been reading any of the assignments we're turning in.
Oh my God. I feel like almost everybody who coasted through high school has a story like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I turned in a pasta recipe for a science paper once. Because I was like, this bitch, her ass is not reading.
Her ass is not reading.
God. And it's like, B. And I'm like, that's when I was like, you bitch. You bitch. You just look at the student and decide what grade they get. You don't read shit. Mm-hmm.
You're like, that was a good pasta recipe. It should have been an A.
Now that's triggered some high school memories for me. I think it was junior year. Mm. I wish I could remember what book it was for. It was some book about a woman who lost her memory. In an icy climate and lived in a manor with some handsome man. I don't remember it all what the book was.
Okay.
Mm.
But we had to select a song to match with this book.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And then give a presentation while using the song to like draw parallels. And I was like, this is junior here in high school. I'm like 17 or 16. This is really dumb. What are you doing?
God, the American education system's interaction with literature at that level is fucked.
Yeah. And like, I don't know if anyone else had Miss Dam. She was the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I had her.
Okay.
She's a psychopath.
Yeah. Remember when she electrocuted a kid and then bribed everyone with candy not to tell anybody?
I heard about it.
I was there. It was me.
Which means that somebody with sugary lips squealed.
I can't believe they did it. I want Jason Schreier. Oh, no.
Deliciously moist.
She gave him a payday and everything, and he still talked.
Well, that's fucked up. Payday's pretty good.
Yeah, she gave him a payday, but he was holding out for 100 grand.
God, I don't think I've had 100 grand in 20 years.
Dude, I ate my
not
first...
Not in this economy.
I had my first 100 grand the other day, and I was like, okay, so it's a king size, right? Half of it is like one chunk. The other half is another chunk. I didn't realize that fucking thing was just caramel. I popped that thing in my mouth entirely while driving a car and then went, I can't breathe. I had no idea. That was terrifying, actually.
I'll bet.
I'm not a mouth breather, but I was congested as shit that day. So when that moment happened and I'm just in my car trying to calm down, because I cannot open my mouth and breathe, right? Down. I'm just like... Fuck. I wonder who told about Miss Dam has like a million different stories.
I know, right?
There were a million different stories about how crazy that bitch was. there was a time in class she was talking to a kid and she was like, "You know, you're very critical. And that means you're not going to be happy in life."
What?
I shit you not.
Oh my God. I
shit you not. She looked at the kid in the eye when the kid pointed out something that didn't make sense. And he didn't do it as a sick own.
Uh-huh.
But he pointed out something that didn't make sense. And she just looked him in the eye and said, "You know, you're really critical. Then you're never going to be happy."
It's even worse because like that's like the point of the literature class is critical thinking.
I know.
It's like, die.
She's like, "Why are you being so critical? We're just here in English class. You're supposed to consume these ideas, not criticizing any of them or deriving any meaning."
Now I'm trying to remember if that was when I was in like the advanced English class or the regular English class. Because I think that was the year I went to just like, "Why am I doing advanced classes? That doesn't make sense." And then went down to that and I ended up with her. I was like, "Oh no, maybe it didn't make that sense."
You know, I got into later years in high school and I was like, "Wait, so you could like get into like gifted and other things early on and I just didn't know and no one ever told me, so I never looked into it?"
Uh-huh.
What the hell? I want that. And then you graduate high school and you go, "Wait, there was no point to that either."
Yep.
And then you become an adult and you go, "There's no point to anything." And then you talk about Star Trek on the internet for money.
And you're 48 years old.
Aggro, I just gotta say thank you for resurfacing that assignment because yes, you are completely correct. That was sophomore year. That was that bitch. Was it Lipnicki?
It was something.
I can't remember.
She was weird.
Her name.
She drank too much water.
Yes, yes. But I just that was a buried memory until you brought that up, and I'm like, yeah, he's right. I remember that. That was very bizarre. Yeah. Does anyone else have any other completely bizarre assignments from teachers?
I have a couple.
Okay.
What? I think I've mentioned this on some content fucking somewhere before. But in middle school, we had I had a social studies teacher who thought she was the smartest woman alive. And she gave everybody an assignment where you had to write a paper in favor of one of the two presidential candidates, and she chose which one for you, and it was based on the opposite one your parents supported.
What? Okay.
I think she asked people who their parents supported like weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
And then deployed this fucking bomb, and I can't remember the outcome of this. I think the assignment got aborted when too many parents were like, "No."
Yeah, you're not getting away with that in high school.
It wasn't high school, it was middle school. It was seventh grade.
Oh, fuck. Are no. You,
wow, what?
The other one, this isn't a project, it's a whole class. My junior year of high school, I was like, "I'm going to take a creative writing class. That's a good elective." Except it wasn't a creative writing class. It was a scrapbooking class.
Okay.
I have no idea why I was named that. And I'm like, "This isn't a creative writing class. Let me switch." And she's like, "No, it's too late." I'm like, "It's the first day of the semester." She's like, "No, it's too late. You have to be in the fucking scrapbooking class," which was 50-50 jocks who need a grade to stay on the team. That was half the class. And the other class was girls who would be into scrapbooking. There was like no normal person in the class. And I'm like, why am I here? Why am I here?
Just to suffer?
Half the class is the football team. They're only here so there's one less thing they have to worry about getting above a C on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I guess I'll just fucking sit here for an hour every day for a semester. Because I'm not doing anything. They gave us like a sheet, like, "Here are scrapbooking techniques. At the end of the semester, turn something in that uses X amount of them." And it's shit like, "Fold a piece of construction paper into a little spring so that when you turn the page, it'll make something pop out."
All right.
"Cut photos into a collage." And I'm like, And I don't think this teacher taught anything else. I'm like, can you just go? Right. I feel like this is a waste of government funding.
Yeah, you're not really serving society.
I was going to say, I've never wanted a sports team to get more funding before.
It's like, man, there's a lot of broken lights in the hallways. I feel like there's some way to square this circle in a way that makes everyone happy, except you.
Intentionally and maliciously, you should be very unhappy.
But that's all I have.
Okay. Well, we can keep with the school theme, because we have another question.
Ooh.
Jordevio writes, what are some school subjects you had that you hated while in school, but found a newfound appreciation in adult life? For me, history is the biggest example. I don't know if I necessarily have this, but it was senior year of high school when I realized I really enjoy history, but my memory and inability to remember names has completely fucked my ability to engage with it. So I'm always just like deeply fascinated in all of these stories. And then I go, I don't fucking remember the names. So it's just pointless to some degree, but it makes for a fascinating, it's like consuming a television show, basically, because the brain retains none of it. Like, ooh, okay, that's neat. And then you think back and you're like, what European country was that? Fuck. When was that, son of a bitch? Do you guys have any school subjects that you hated while in school but found a newfound appreciation for in adult life?
All of them, because the American school system is something designed to wring any possible enjoyment anyone could get out of learning out of them.
Yeah.
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 The biggest one would have to be reading books, because it would help if any book you had to read in high school was anything that had dialogue like anything you had engaged with on your own time ever had.
Right.
And it wasn't like, read this book from 1885. And I'm like, why? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. When they finally were like, here, read Ender's Game, I was like, thank you. Some sort of literature that was written any time in the last like 5 decades.
Thank you so much. This book, finally, a book that opens with literally stomping someone's head in. That's just, this has been what I've been waiting for in this English course. Thank you.
I knew there was some English class in our high school that was reading The Once and Future King, and I could never fucking find it. Year after year, there were kids walking around not having to read shit like Tex, and I couldn't figure out how to get into that English track.
Oh, Andrew, you also had to read Tex!
Yep. Oh, man, I dodged that one. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
Did you also have to read Love's Music, Love's to Dance?
Absolutely not. No idea.
Oh. Damn, it was just Tex.
Yeah, fucking text.
I was supposed to read The Scarlet
Letter.
It's like
Phil won the lottery.
I don't, read Ender's Game in high school. Fuck you.
I know. I know. Cheating. I read that in my own spare time because my brother was like, Ender's Game, the Ender's Saga. Like, I think my mother, too, they were really into it. And it's like their point of interest was all the new Bean stuff, right? They're like, Ender's Game is neat, but then there's the whole Bean saga or whatever. And then I get into it, and then it becomes apparent when you read that side by side by the original, like, sequels to Ender's Game, that it's like, these are really old sci-fi. Like, everything after that in the direct timeline is just like, this is just some weird shit you write in the, oh, it is written in the 80s. Okay. All right. That makes sense. I still, every time it's brought up that was, like, we read that for class, I'm like, what? That thing was made in the 80s. That's way too new,
right?
God, fucking Tex.
That's the real moral of the story.
Is it a good book?
I mean, like, let me put it this way, KZ. There are those who are going, and there are those who are staying. And fuck that book.
Okay.
Is The Once in the Future King the thing about Galahad in modern times?
No.
Okay.
You're thinking of The Forever King, I think?
Maybe, because I was thinking, like, that was another good book I read for school. I have no idea what it was called, though.
Okay. Yeah, that might have been The Forever King.
I mean, I was that kid in your English class who was like, oh boy, another book from 1885. Let's fucking go.
I hate the Scarlet Letter so fucking much.
I'm just sitting here imagining Aggro in like an old French Duke's outfit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I did get to read in science class.
Ooh.
I had a science teacher assign us the moon is a harsh mistress.
What?
Why?
Yeah. Because that class was full of complete shitheads who didn't want to do anything. And she's like, you know what? Here, you read this book. I'll give you some credit. I'm like, fuck yeah.
I saw so, like, my junior year science class, which was supposed to be fucking chemistry. I saw so many movies with nothing to do with science because that teacher did not want to teach. This is also the her ass is not reading teacher, by the way.
Shock.
Where it's just like, I don't want to work today, so you're going to watch Gattaca? What?
All right.
And because classes were only like 50 minutes long, you have to, it takes two to watch a movie, so she gets to eat up two periods.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to remember the organizational nightmare that was longer films, where I think I had a sixth grade science class where it took us three periods to watch The Core. Because they're like, yo, this is science. They nuke the core of the planet and turn it on again.
Yeah, I saw King of Monsters.
How come we don't get movies like that anymore where like scientists have to also be action heroes?
I don't know.
Well, we can't have the scientists be heroes anymore because
they're the bad guys.
The billionaire elite class who fund everything don't want that to be a prominent thing in media.
Look. We're just waiting for them to make the Half-Life movie, and it will be just as much of a watershed moment in films as it was in games. The entire MCU is now scientists.
And wow. First person. Every movie is now first person.
Oh man. It's like Hardcore Henry is every film now.
Isn't the first Doom movie also first person?
Only at the
There's
end.
There's a segment.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a really good ending segment.
Yeah, the whole movie is just a lead into that scene, and it's like, why did I have to watch an hour and a half for this?
No, dude, it was so good. I was like, it was worth watching an hour and a half for this. That's absolutely. I think it's during the first person segment that you get the Semper Fi, motherfucker.
Oh yeah, no, it's easily
it's right after that.
Yeah,
so good, so good.
Blessed.
You know, I was going to say, before we get off this tangent of school stuff, it would be so easy to do a cursed content book club that was just us wholesale stealing the curriculum of some English course somewhere.
We got to read every single, all the 18 sequels to Hatchet.
No.
You talked about that recently, I feel like, and I'm like, no, this sounds terrible.
Okay, so you didn't have to read Hatchet?
Oh, no. I middle school, I think I read half of it just because there's like, here's required reading for homeroom. And they're like, there's a stack of books over there in the front. And I picked up Hatchet. I think I got through about half of it and went, all right, I'm bored. I'll just get something from the library next time I come in. I'm going to tap out on this one.
Let's go ahead and move on. We have another email from Banshee Neat. Banshee Neat writes, hello, big thinkers. See, it would have been confusing if this was the first email. There are a lot of highly anticipated games coming out this year, and so I wanted to ask a question related to the classic tradition of getting way too excited about video games. Can you recall the most excited you've ever been for an upcoming game in the past? Did that game live up to that hype at all? If you want, you can also apply this question to movies that you highly anticipated. Thanks for all the great work you guys do. Banshee Neat. Thanks, Banshee Neat. You know, it might be Metal Gear Solid 4.
Oh, this is going to be a painful one, isn't it?
Oh yes. I think it was Metal Gear Solid 4. And I was very excited for Metal Gear Solid 4. I finished a playthrough of the entire series right beforehand. Watched every trailer countless times. It's deeply engraved on my soul. Then I get to a scene which is incredibly long, doesn't have good action going on, and has absolutely no music. And since no other Metal Gear game had done anything like that to that point, I'm like, is my disc broken? And then I went out and bought another copy out of fear that my disc was broken.
Okay, I do recall this.
I remember that night. I remember the midnight release of 4. And I had come along because it sounded like a good time, but I wasn't going to buy it. But it was like I got there and just the energy, the anticipation, the excitement of the crowd. I walked out of that GameStop with a copy of 4.
I think the next closest one, honestly, for me would be Final Fantasy 13. The funniest thing about that launch was seeing all the people who bought it on 360. Where it's just like, but your copy has terrible... You've heard what they've done to your version, right?
Square shot themselves in the foot with that release.
Yeah. That was... I'm really glad they updated the hell out of that for the back and pat version.
Right.
So all the cutscenes actually look good now and countless other things. Thank fucking Christ. Thank God. Yeah, Final Fantasy 13 was really cool for about 20 hours and then I was done. I was like, it's not really doing it for me. I'm good. Metal Gear Solid 4, it was a very hype experience. Very, very hype all the way to the end.
Yeah, like the ending is the most hype.
And then, and then you think back on it for like over the next week.
Uh-huh.
And you just go, why did he do that?
Was most of that game really stupid?
Yeah, that is.
Right?
And not in a way that's just for the sake of being fun. A lot of that game is just stupid.
Right.
And you just go, what is with that? And then it's like, well, his co-writer for the entire rest of the Metal Gear series didn't work on this one. I'm like, yeah, okay, I could see how that shifts a little, and in his strive to connect an insane amount of dots for seemingly no reason, we end up here. But yeah, that's it for me. Let's go to KZ next. KZ, what's most hyped game ever?
Okay, this one's easy. Kingdom Hearts 3.
I was going to say, which
you.
Kingdom Hearts game?
The one I've been waiting for since 2006. That one, where we got so close that I'm like, I'd like to dream about something else every night. And then that came out, and I'm like, great. You hit my expectations. That's great.
Good for you.
Speaking of ones that that I was like, I'm really hype about this. Fallout 4.
Oh.
I liked Fallout 3 enough to where I'm like, I'll take one of those. And they're like, we're going to make one that's worse than that one by a lot. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's also how I felt about it. Like, I liked Fallout 3. I don't care that it wasn't as well written. And then Fallout 4 is like, yeah, but what if the parts you did like about Fallout 3 were gone?
Yeah, that was really rough when I came into that. And I'm like, you've ripped out everything I liked about it. And they're like, we've turned your luck stat into press a button to do a crit. And I'm like, do you understand what luck is? As a concept here. Yeah, that one I just came out going... At the time, I was like, I'm vibing a little bit with it, and when I finished it, I'm like, I went from wanting to do everything in the game to never wanting to touch it again, and I still haven't. Which, yeah, that was really rough. You can't win them all in terms of, like, I'm highly anticipating a thing. I think it was after that I was able to, like, rein in my expectations on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree, and this really helps, especially when, you know, following other Square games that came out well after 2016, where I'm like, if something is not in a trailer in any game that will ever come out, there's nothing else there. And I go in with that expectation for every release now, where I'm like, if they didn't show it in a trailer, it probably doesn't exist. So whenever they have something they held back, I'm like, that's exciting. That's cool. You've gone up on the bar here.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so many games across so many companies give away so much stuff.
Yeah.
So I end up building something else in my head based on that. And I've tended to avoid that thing by having a certain level of expectation. So I haven't gotten burned too much recently at all.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I can't think of anything else that's large.
Okay. Same question, Bob.
I do this cycle every time a Devil May Cry game comes out. So even ever since one, because I didn't have that much high expectations for one, because, you know, it's a new game. I have no idea.
I mean, that thing
played a demo.
It just snuck in on the Resident Evil Code Veronica X I rented from Blockbuster.
Right. But so Devil May Cry 2 immediately. Super hype for it. Pre-order it. Get a day of launch. Might be one of the first games I like use my own money to buy and everything.
And all you got was a good stinger.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that game was really terrible, and everyone knows it.
Yes.
So, again, for Devil May Cry 3, goes great. Amazing game. Devil May Cry 4. Oh, why is this half of what I expected from you? Yeah, that was upsetting. And then 5, of course, is great.
Yeah.
What about your expectations for DMC?
That out of the gate, let me know. I shouldn't have expectations.
Yes.
Yeah, when every trailer looks like ass and runs like ass, and you know.
And you have social media managers being like, the feel of 60 frames per second. I'm like,
That is... few things will ever be more ridiculous than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was dire. Then there's also FF7 Remake. I got pretty excited for that. That did not go well. I'm trying to think. I had that same thing with Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
Because that was something in our whole friends group at the time. Of like, oh man, Metal Gear Solid. And after 2 and 3, were like the jump from 2 to 3 was so great. Like 3 is amazing.
Yeah.
You don't expect 4 to just be, oh.
Yeah, it's not only disappointing in a litany of ways story-wise, but mechanically it's such a bizarre creature compared to every other entry,
right, where it's just divided into chapters that play almost completely differently.
I mean, some of them literally,
yeah,
like entirely differently. Also the insane amount of, okay, we're now on the plane with Sunny,
yeah,
for 30 minutes.
And all the trailers make you think it's going to do something cool, and it just doesn't.
Yeah, no, he clearly cut those trailers to imply storylines in it that don't exist at all.
Yes, like maliciously.
It's kind of hilarious in retrospect.
Right.
Playing through that chapter, I can't remember the chapter. I think it was 4. I'm not going to say what it is because, you know, not everyone's played Metal Gear Solid 4.
Right.
But there's that thing that happens at the very beginning of the chapter, which was how one of the trailer ends.
Uh-huh.
And it really makes you go, what? What the hell's happening? Nothing.
Nothing. And then I let myself do this again with 5. It's like, but the trailers, they show all this insane stuff. What's all that light mean?
That trailer's nothing. 15 minutes long.
Nothing.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember why I wasn't as hyped for 5. And I think it was because 4 broke me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's totally fair. Plus,
because I still got it at launch.
Right.
And then I only played like 8 or 9 hours, enough to get the structure of it and shit, and go, nah. No, that's good. I don't need... Like, 4 and 5 could not be more different games.
No. I
yeah,
had
of course,
the,
not at all.
I had the break between with playing Peace Walker all the way through and enjoying some of what they did there.
Yeah.
So it made me somewhat confident they could pull it off in 5, and it's like, no. Oh, well.
Yeah, I guess another element of it was this was the third time we told the story that never needed to be told.
Yeah.
The story of after 3, before 1.
Right.
Third?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Portable Ops exists.
Oh, right. Portable Ops exists. I always forget it exists because it's not real.
Not anymore, it isn't. yeah, so after giving a hard pass on that origin story, I didn't need the interquel I never needed twice before, and then this game was, my expectations were low. Still disappointed.
Right. But I think that's everything that I got super major hype for. There's probably some I've forgotten, but I can't think of them right now. You know, and then was disappointed because obviously stuff like Bloodstained happened and Castlevania is when they were, you know, coming out frequently.
Oh, yeah. There was maximum hype going into every Castlevania release for years there for me.
Yeah, and then we, when Lords of Shadow was announced, we immediately knew this isn't what we want.
I'm like, this won't go well. And then it went even worse than I thought, right? At least Kojima's involved, right? Actually, that was a lie.
I just remember how pathetic the cycle for 2 was. Mm-hmm. Even as someone who just was on the outside of, like, the marketing on this seems really bad. And then years later when they're like, yeah, Konami just blackballed IGN because their reviewers just gave low scores to one of them.
Yeah.
Like the 3DS one. They're like, no, fuck you.
Which is nuts because it's like that ran terribly on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every Castlevania game I had like maximum hype for until we started to hit the, like, Judgment, Adventure, Rebirth, Lords of Shadow era, right?
Yeah.
And Harmony of Despair, but, you know.
The dark times.
Yeah, the dark times. But none of those really disappointed before that. So all the ones I had hype for went well. Aggro, do you have any?
I have a tale of 2 7th gen games.
Ooh. Oh. Is one of them Layer?
No. In September of 2011, Resistance 3 came out.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
And I bought that game with trepidation. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Don't hit me again.
Puts it in the slot. And like a half an hour later, I'm like, oh my god, is this game good? And then 2 hours later, oh my god, this game is amazing. And I was fucking hype as shit. Fuck 2. Like I was back on top. Everything's great. The world is as it should be. Everything is coming up. Sony exclusives. Nothing can stop me now. November of 2011. Maybe my most anticipated hype game coming off of one of my favorite experiences ever. A game I loved so much, I actually got deep into the multiplayer. In November of 2011, Uncharted 3 came out.
Sorry, Kurt, if you're listening.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game, right?
I am currently holding the Sic Parvus Magna ring that came with the special edition with the figure and the steel book.
Hell yeah.
Hey, at least you got something good with it.
Oh, Uncharted 3. Why were you so mid?
I don't know. It's really a trip playing through it, though.
Oh god, that reminds me of my experience with Ninja Gaiden 3. Like, oh yeah, 2 was pretty great. Surely they'll just improve on that. No, we removed most things. Here's a cool statue you got with the collector edition, though.
I just kept playing, going, why? Why isn't this better? There's nothing wrong with it. Why isn't this better?
Live, damn it. I have all these organs.
My big takeaway was Uncharted 3 has that crawl space where all the spider-like things come out of it, and that broke my brain for every crawl space afterward. Where I'm like, are we in a cave? This could go bad.
I was like, oh, this part's really cool, and I started eating popcorn like Michael Jackson in the Thriller music video. Yeah. I didn't successfully play through Uncharted 3 the first time I played it, because about halfway through, I was like, it's just not working. Like, it's really not working for me.
Yeah,
and then I put it down for...
It's off.
I put it down for, what, 10 years? 9 years?
Just a short little 9-year break.
Just a little 9-year break from the game, and then I played the PS4 version, and it's still... Yeah, I don't know. It's a real shame. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other tales you wanted to tell before we move on to Feel?
I mean, I don't know how hard you want to date this recording.
Uh-huh.
But I'm currently staring at the Horizon Forbidden West countdown clock. Uh-huh. 4 hours, 38 minutes, 48 seconds.
Surely it can't screw you.
I'm ready to believe again.
Yeah. No, this will go fine. I'm convinced this will be a really great game if you like the first one.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. There's no way.
There's no way.
My heart is open. I'm ready to be wounded.
Resistance 2 again. Just a big dog.
You know what? I have an interesting permutation of this question I'm going to go into after Feel answers the actually written question.
I've never been excited for anything in my life.
I was so incredibly excited, unbelievably excited, for Mass Effect 3.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
So the worst it's been yet.
I don't feel like I don't have to go any further. I was so unbelievably excited, so excited for Dragon Age 2.
Oh, no.
This is not fair. We brought in guns. You brought in an orbital space laser as your answers every time.
Let's see. I was so excited. I was so unbelievably excited for Bioshock Infinite. And the last one, which is the only, which still won't need explanation, is I was so unbelievably excited for Star Ocean 4.
No.
Seventh Gen really was the worst it has ever been and ever will be.
I was lucky. Most of my franchises just fucking died.
Yeah.
They didn't get the luxury of a really bad game.
Yeah, Castlevania unfortunately got that tumor. Or it's just like, hello, like, I'm Castlevania. And I'm like, no, you're not. What are you?
Like, that was the moment where I'm like, no, I now have realistic expectations, which is I just assume everything is going to be a 7. that's the height of my excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. 7th gen will do that to you.
You know, I'm... Oh, God. What's... Oh, God.
I was just like, yeah, oh, wait. Bayonetta 2. No.
There's also that little black box in my brain that isn't allowed to interact with any other parts of my brain where I put how excited I was for Cyberpunk.
Oh.
And it's just locked away in there. Well, and maybe in 10 years I'll open it up again.
That's good. Yeah, just keep it sealed away.
Yeah. I was excited for it. I voted for it on most anticipated game on a podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then I played 2 hours and went, they lied to me, and I will submit the refund that everyone else is doing right now.
Slight permutation of this to suit my own taste. You know what's really hype?
What's that?
Console launches.
Ooh.
Very, very hype
oh,
for that.
Oh, no.
So good. You know, some of them go really, really great, right? Some of them you feel like this is a watershed moment. This is massively better. Holy crap. Games are amazing. You know, I wasn't there for PS1 launch, but thanks to my brother, I was there for like the PS2 launch, pretty close to the GameCube, or I was there at GameCube launch, kind of, and then pretty close on Xbox. All of those felt like amazing moments. The PSP felt like an amazing moment. We went from the Game Boy Advance to that. That's nuts. Like, the DS was only out for a few months before the PSP came out. It's like, this is unreal. This game's like 3D and has CD quality audio and is stunning.
Yeah, and you made sure not to pick up Untold Legends.
I wouldn't say I made sure not to.
You made sure
at a certain point
it became
an operative. Yes,
it became an operative to lie about scores and then have other people buy.
I didn't lie about it. That implies that I knew. I misremembered that number heinously.
IGN gave it a 9.
IGN gave it a 9, I swear, Handsome Joe. Untold Legends is a 9 out of 10. IGN said so. So if you're mad about that game, don't look up the review score, but be mad at them.
Yes!
I was like, why would IGN give this a 9? This looks like a piece of shit. Looks it up, they didn't. But the PSP was really amazing. And even like a few months in, it's still amazing. It still has this great glow about it. Like, you hack it with a JPEG and then play fucking Zelda 2 on an NES emulator you loaded onto it. And you've just never seen a portable be so competent at emulation and all of these other amazing functionalities of this futuristic portable that's so incredible. Things are feeling great. The PS2 launch was hype. The PSP launch is hype. Then the PS3 comes out. Bob and I waited, 27 hours in a line?
Yeah, they're about.
25, 27 hours in a line. Yeah, it was 27. To get a PS3. We get it. We drive back all the way like 50 miles or something, 45 miles to get from the Dufuniac Springs Walmart in the middle of nowhere, sitting with a bunch of dirt bags. And the guy right behind us who can't get one for his kid for Christmas because they had exactly enough to get the dirt bags who were buying it for some other guy and us a PS3. And then that guy's just seething because he knows the first four people in line are just buying it to sell it. We get it back. We boot it up. One of the first experiences we have is we boot Resistance. We go, hey, they pull up the menu during E3 by hitting the PlayStation button. Let's do that. You hit it. It does nothing. It does literally nothing.
It didn't even give us the screen that said turn off system then?
You had to press and hold for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we're just like, what? And it does nothing. It's just a menu prompt, just like the PS1 back compat is in the PS3, even to this day, where there's just a menu with some text options. And it says the most ridiculous stuff of like, quit game, shut down system, controller stuff. And I'm like, what? What?
Yeah.
That launch was the roughest I think I've ever...
It was a bill of goods.
It was insane.
That was also when you would launch the game and it would play a scary noise, right? That I still don't know about.
Yeah, for the first year and a half where it just goes, and then the game starts. And it pops up with the PS3 logo to scar this into you. Just some PlayStation 3 Spider-Man text.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just gets
the goat.
And that's when the PlayStation Store was a webpage. Blast Factor.
Yeah, I'm really glad that was real. Because you could absolutely have a nightmare where that would be the case, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could see your brain inventing that existed, but it's just insane. Yeah, no, Sony, of all people, launched a digital storefront that was a webpage you operated with the mouse cursor being operated by the left stick. They thought this was good enough. So about,
I mean,
what?
Like, there's a lot you can say about the PS3 launch if you describe the things that happened during it, but I find it's better to focus on everything that happened right before you were allowed to buy it. Because I don't think anything will ever equal the insane, nearly religious fervor. All the years of E3s and all the blatant lies had whipped us into.
Yeah.
Yes.
This thing was a miracle incarnate before you turned it on.
Yes. No, that's true. It definitely was. And like, by modern standards, you would have been horribly disappointed in the PS3. But you didn't understand. Back then, the lies were so constant and everything was so bullshit that the moment you boot it, there was no chance it wasn't getting like a 2 out of 10 from you.
Yeah, I know there was still a little bit of like, this is cool, but it was a lot. It was with a big dose of, oh no.
Yeah. But yeah, so far, like, if looking back on the history of, you know, remotely worth talking about hardware launches, I think the 3DS launch and the PS3 launch were like the two most disappointing, you know? I didn't own an Xbox One at launch. Maybe if I was insane enough to spend $500.
Play Dead Rising 3.
They put the, like, instead of being just tons of lies, like the PlayStation 3 was, to promising great things, they were instead just outright up front with, like, we're trying to screw you. We're definitely trying to screw you. Don't buy this. Right.
I mean, yeah.
Here's the Kinect. Everyone hated it.
Yeah, I mean, it led with TV Sports and then immediately went mandatory online.
Yeah.
Mandatory Kinect.
It was dire. It was like, why would anyone buy that?
Wow, you're really good at digging this hole. I'm not going to buy that hole.
Like, there are so many traps with that when they announced the Killer Instinct revival, I'm like, this is going to be terrible. And it turned out to be good because I'm like, well, everything surrounding this platform seems like it's a trap and evil.
Yeah. But yeah. I wish the 3DS launch was better. That launch was dire.
Yeah.
I don't even have to explain. They cut the price by $80 within 4 months. They know.
There were no Nintendo games at launch, really.
Was it 80 or 70? It was. I think it was 80. I could be wrong. But yeah, but...
What were they thinking?
Bob, there was one Nintendo game at launch. Do you know what it is?
I can't even remember.
We now go to Casey. Do you remember what it is?
No.
We now go to Field. Do you remember what it is?
No.
Dr. Agro?
I never owned a 3DS.
Steel Diver.
No!
What?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Everyone's like, wait.
That was made by them. That's the gun in Smash Bros. There's like a sub gun.
Yeah, Steel Diver.
Yeah.
That's one of the...
Steel Diver.
Lowest priced games at GameStop.
Yeah.
For a long while.
Yeah, no, it was a game where they clearly partnered up with a studio in Japan. Like a really small one, like a Q Game size studio. And then said, hey, we need a 3DS launch game. And they got one. So mission accomplished. Oh my God, just looking at this game. But yeah, this is technically a Nintendo second party game.
Oh my God, that's insane.
This is their game.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm remembering the weird deals we would do. Like GameStop would be like, oh, if you trade in this many games, you get a bonus. Like you'll get 10% more if you trade in 5 games or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'd be like, buy this dollar game, buy Steel Diver and trade it in the same transaction. Then you're trading in 5 games to get 10% more for everything else.
Yeah. Yes, I took advantage of that many times, which is why I imagine they eventually stopped doing that.
Yeah, it's probably why they don't do that anymore. Yep.
There was one year where it was real psychotic, where it was like, I forget what year it was. It was like 2014 or 2015 maybe. And it was like, if you trade in 5 games, you get $30 extra.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I remember that.
And it was like, oh, look at all these horrible 7th gen games that are worth $1.
Because even like a couple years after they came out, they're like, we'll give you 50 cents for Uncharted 2. And I'm like, it's not even that old. What happened?
Here's the gun in Smash that
Casey
was talking about. Yeah. That's made out of Steel Diver.
Yeah, it has like a slow torpedo shot on it.
Yep.
It's
pretty funny.
Thank you, because I could never figure out what it looked like, and I never zoomed in on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to play Steel Diver one day.
Yeah, same. Now that it's not $40 fucking.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about times I was hyped for a console launch. It's only happened a couple of times because all the other times I was young or poor. So it became this thing of, I'm not going to get it. That's not going to happen for me, so I can't really speak toward it. I remember the Switch launch where I'm like, I'm incredibly excited for this. The games itself were all right, and I enjoyed them. But trying to get one to my house through Amazon was a horrible experience and made me want to die.
Yeah, how long did that take?
It took like almost an extra week where they just kept lying to me every time I called or used their customer support. And they're like, it's on the road. It's like a mile from you. And they're like, no, it's at a building like in Mesquite, 2 cities away at a fulfillment center. And that was, I was just like, I don't know if I can do this with you guys anymore. And, I still do, because it's Amazon. It's like, what can you do? The PS5 launch, I was very hyped for. Because it seemed like a magic machine that would solve all of life's problems.
Then it was.
And then it arrived after I was running a stream for something else for like 8 or 9 hours. And we unpacked it, and then we played Astro's Playroom. I hadn't eaten the entire time, so I'm like starving, but my eyes are transfixed upon this game. And then you're streaming, and then I beat your high score, and that told me, and then I could press one button to like jump into that speedrun game.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like magic that could never be achieved or has been done before. And I'm like, this is it. We've reached the future.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the PS5 is honestly one of the best vibes launches since, I guess the Wii.
Yeah. I was going to talk about the Wii launch and how strange that was. Cause we do that insane 27-hour wait
for the PS3.
For the PS3. Then the next week. Or maybe even just a few days later.
No, yeah, it was in the next week at least.
Yeah, it was very close.
Mm-hmm.
I just walked into the GameStop because I have it pre-ordered, and I just pick it up, and there's like no line. It feels really nice to just be able to go get it.
Yeah.
And then we boot it up, and it's like, this is surprisingly competent.
Oh, yeah, no.
Red Steel is a complete lie, though.
Yeah, Red Steel is a complete lie, but...
I remember you talking up the magazine ads at the time.
The complete lie. Fuck that thing. Anyways.
Yeah, we swore it was a lot of fun. Red Steel is like, wow, bull shots are real.
Yes. Oh, yes. God. That thing was completely faked. It was stunning how much they lied.
Like, it was Killzone 2 CG trailer level of you lied to us.
Yeah, you would have struggled to get those images working on a PS3 or 360.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, the Wii does this.
Am I the only person who to this day still gets Red Steel and Wet confused?
Yes.
Probably.
I don't know why. It's just they have like this, that's like, you have a sword and a gun.
It'd be funny if there was a Wet too.
And they're both bad. They announced Wet 2, KZ. They just never made it.
Yeah, they never made it.
Oh, okay. It couldn't live on like Red Steel 2.
No. It was weird because in a way, like, we had experienced the cross-media bar from the PSP.
Uh-huh.
So the PS3 wasn't like this revolutionary, oh, it's just like so much fancier. But it looked nice as an OS experience. But the Wii... Something about it was so elegant and cool in the way you interfaced with the menu.
Yeah, the channels.
That it felt like a next-gen thing. Like, it felt like a really different novel experience that was kind of cool and smooth.
Gotta go do the voting channel.
And the virtual console stuff, which was there at launch.
Yeah, we played Pinball.
And Altered Beast.
Yeah.
It honestly felt, experience-wise, like, holistically better. It had great vibes. It also had the slight edge of future feel. And then the Wii U happened, and the Wii U doesn't really have that. Even when it came out at the tail end of 7th gen, the Wii U just felt like, you're off.
What if the Wii was sterile?
What if the Wii took hours to update? Because that's one of the first experiences anyone has opening that thing.
Mm.
And the giant gamepad was clunky and bizarre.
Sounded like a really old cell phone even at the time.
Yeah, the motor and the rumble just sounded like a Nokia phone from 2004 going off.
Yeah.
How do we get you excited for the Wii U? Well, they're going to port Mass Effect 3 to it.
Yeah, and Batman.
Yeah, Batman. Yep, Batman. Armored Edition.
Yep.
Yeah, so in the grand scheme of vibes and cool feeling launches... You know, I kind of put the Wii way up there, the PS3 really far down with the 3DS, and PS5 was really good. The only thing that could have made that better is for us to exist in a parallel dimension where next-gen exclusives still financially feasible. Unfortunately, that's not where we live, so I enjoyed my time with every game on the PS4 now running at 60, and also like Astro's Playroom and the few next-gen exclusives we got. Like Demon's Souls, which was nuts. But yeah, we should move on. We got a message from Textbook Gavin. Hey, Giga Boys, it's Gav. I just wanted to say thank you for doing what y'all do. Your content helped me get through COVID recently, and it always cheers me up when I'm down. My question is, what's the stupidest thing you ever did as a child? When I was 5 years old, my dad rented a Spider-Man game from Blockbuster, and after he returned it, I missed it so much that I snuck out of the apartment, walked down 3 sets of stairs, got 2 lanes across a 4-lane street before someone stopped me and walked me back. I came very close to dying. Thank you for the email, Gavin. This list is so long. I can't properly.
I mean, you've mentioned you jumping out of a Jeep one.
No, I jumped out of a Jeep. Bob was driving once on a normal ass road. I went car door mud surfing, which is where you knock the side view mirror off of a car door, hook it up to the back of a Jeep, and then go through mud. You're standing on the car door, in case that wasn't clear.
No, you're just wrecking the car doors you drive. Yeah, owned.
Yep. Went off-roading / mudding in a fucking hurricane. Oh, God, the list is so fucking long. Christ. Yeah, it's just it's ceaseless. So we're going to go to Feel. Tell them something stupid you did.
One time I put a cigarette lighter on my tongue. Oh. I was just like, what'll happen if I put this on my tongue?
Here's the thing. I think I did something like that, but I don't think it was my tongue. God, I hope it wasn't my tongue. I don't remember where I put it, though.
Because I guess I didn't understand it was hot or how hot. Yeah, I didn't understand exactly what it was.
It looks cool.
Because it's just like a weird coil of metal, yeah.
Yeah, it's all like red and hot. You're like, look at this cool red
You're
hot
like,
thing.
You're like, how'd that go?
I should apply that to my face.
Is there anything else? I've shared like the riding a chair down the stairs thing before, so... I won't go into that too much, but I did do that and did break my arm.
What kind of chair are we talking?
Oh my god.
It was, have you ever seen one of those rocking chairs that don't have legs? They're like for kids' rooms?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's like black pleather.
Yeah.
And you can put it, yeah. and if you put it on its back, it looks sort of like an old-timey sled.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, I get it. The moment you said that, I'm like, oh, I get the physics and everything now.
And it was me and another person. It was me and my cousin. I say cousin, but we're not actually related. It's fucking complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, I think everyone has a kid to hang out with that was allegedly their cousin or something.
Yeah.
So the first time it worked fine. I was like, wow, that was great. Let's do it again.
What a rush.
And then I flew off and landed on my arm and broke my arm. Was there anything else? I'm trying to think, like, there was the tongue thing. Deliberate ones, usually not so much. Like, it's usually I do something stupid, or I just do something accidentally.
Right.
Like that time I stabbed myself in the eye with a fireworks punk.
Ugh.
Huh.
Which was gross, because, like, the fungus grows over your entire eye.
Oh.
I think that's it. I don't think I have any like egregiously stupid things I've ever done. One time I threw cooking oil all over the floor and tried to skate around, and that did not endear me to anyone.
I didn't have many fans.
Lost followers over that one.
Getting beat up in the quotes.
Okay. Aggro.
The dumbest thing I did when I was a child was desperately desire to grow up.
Man, I thought the one I was going to come in next was dark. Jesus.
But also there was that time my brother and I were playing mountain climber on the stairs with our dad's set of Air Force suspenders, and that son of a bitch let go and cracked the front of my tooth.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, no.
You know, it's probably stupid that I did this, but I don't know. I'd do it again. So you know how escalators... Specifically, the one at the military hospital around here would have, you know, you have, of course, the metal part that is the standing platform, and then the side rails that are for the handles that are like rubber, right?
Okay, yeah, same standard.
As a child, I would walk up, and one of the first things in this hospital is they have an escalator that goes up to the second floor, okay? I would go up on the outside of it, grab the fucking handle and just ride it up into the air. And my mom's like, no, stop. Why do you do this? I'm like, it's great.
It seems like a weird thing for a hospital to have an escalator. Maybe that's just me. That just seems strange.
That's very common.
Okay.
See, that's the thing though. It's like, how many wheelchairs are you taking around? Wouldn't you prefer an elevator?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm used to elevators.
Well, the escalators, I guess, are for people who don't need a wheelchair, but stairs are still hard.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Elevators are for wheelchairs, because when you go into the hospital here, the first thing you see is an escalator.
Huh.
See, here's the thing. I actually don't know how close the elevator was at that hospital. I think it was at the backside of that wing. So it's like, here's the escalator. It's instantly in front of you. There's the elevator. It's way the fuck back there.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of hospitals have like two level lobbies.
Yeah.
So an elevator doesn't make except for wheelchairs, doesn't make a huge amount of sense for like those. So a lot of them will be have escalators.
But yeah, this shit was fun as hell. I did that for years. My mother was very upset. Aside from that, the rest is me doing shit that gets scars. And okay, so wooden bridge in a backyard because their backyard is horribly uneven. Has anyone else seen anything like this in their lives? It is.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's what we call a cottage core backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Me and the kid who lives there, I don't know why he thought this was a good idea, but we're jumping on the opposite ends of it because it's not quite level with the ground and it acts like a seesaw.
Oh my God. Okay.
It flings up and knocks me right in the fucking face.
Oh, no.
Our problem was we were too good. But yeah, aside from that, yeah, I jumped out of a vehicle, whatever. Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Do you have any of these?
Yeah, I might have told the story about me swinging around a PVC pipe insanely hard, as hard as I could, like spinning it.
Yeah, I think you told.
Okay, it was a small PVC pipe. I'm spinning. I'm like, oh, this is cool. It'd make a cool noise. And then it shatters in my hands and kind of flays them.
Cool.
Very cool. And then this one wasn't my fault. I wasn't the stupid one.
Oh, that's a good
story. I didn't know the weather patterns. My parents took me there. We went out during a tropical storm to a jetty?
Yeah.
Yeah. With really shallow water, and we got really far out in the water. The storm wasn't supposed to come until like 2 or 3 p.m. and we got out there early so we could get ahead of it. Because we just had to go looking for oysters.
What?
Not oysters, scallops. Because we were like catching scallops.
What?
With little nets. And it snorkel around. It's fun.
It's your parents.
And we get super far out there. Like probably half a mile into this jetty, super shallow area. And then we could see the storm coming. Like, literally, it's the rain. You can see the cutoff point for the rain. And we start running back through this horrible marsh.
Jesus Christ.
That wasn't my fault.
No.
I didn't think...
No, but that's ridiculous.
It was really dumb, though.
That's absurd. At least I was, you know, with the off-roading during a hurricane thing. That was my fucking dumbass older brother.
Right?
It wasn't my parents.
That's the only ones that are coming to mind right now.
Okay. KZ?
You know how the Super Nintendo has like a power brick thing you plug into the wall?
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing. Uh-huh. I was probably like 5 or something, and I'm like, there's like a little bit of a gap in the top. So I started like getting flat things and like going up and down and going up and down and flipping through it. And then it caused like a spark explosion that completely blackened that outlet. My parents are like, what are you doing? You're holding a magnet. It didn't hurt me at all, but it was funny. And it didn't even damage. It damaged nothing. Even that outlet, I think, still worked.
Damn.
But they're like, you could die that way. And then they also went on to teach me certain things like if you touch a light bulb while it's lit, you'll die.
Oh.
So that explains why you told me to twist a light bulb earlier, because it went out.
Uh-huh.
And when I said, wouldn't that electrocute me? And you said no. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, they just regularly lied to me about things that could potentially kill me that wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, KZ, I'm starting to think you may have, like, electropath abilities, and your parents were trying to shield you from a life dedicated to crime fighting. I'm going to need you to grab a butter knife and just stick it into an outlet real quick.
Yeah, KZ, you got to charge up.
Don't do that. Like, don't do that. You're not a conduit, KZ.
I think the worst part is Dan sees me audibly look to the path of our kitchen.
Yeah, no, don't do that, man.
Do it for static shock.
Do not do it for static shock. Static shock, we would not want you to do that.
Yeah, I do that. Fucking Dan, you could be my Richie. I'll suddenly be voiced by Phil Lamar.
Okay, next time you need to replace the batteries, KZ, in your Xbox controller, just lick it. Just lick it. It'll be fine.
I've licked the bottoms of batteries before. It's weird.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, 9 volts are designed for that.
Hey, sometimes you need to feel something. It's like when I would smell Expo markers.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I used to have those scent markers when I was a kid. I got one story that isn't about me that I have to tell because it's fucked.
Okay.
One of my earliest memories, I was like two, because this took place in fucking Iowa. Me and a bunch of neighbor kids were all playing, and you know how in a front door, there's like the main wooden or metal door, and then like the screen door.
Yeah.
And the screen door is sometimes has glass in it. And you know how glass today is all like safety glass and, you know, it shatters and the film holds everything together. It's not like old plate glass that splinters into swords.
Right.
This was not safety glass. I watched a four-year-old kid in the middle of our playing pretend and running around shout, "I'm the Terminator," and put his fist through plate glass, shredding his hand.
Oh,
what
no.
a!
Oh.
I'm the Terminator.
Oh no!
It was the most metal thing I've ever seen.
They took it well, I'm sure.
Oh, he was in shock.
Yeah, of course.
Just looking at his hand, like what? The adults did not take that well.
Well, I think that's as good of a story as possible to wrap up this Big Think mailbag.
Yeah, Jesus.
We got some good ones in this one, though.
Yeah, Jesus. God.
I have superpowers.
No, you... No.
Oh.
Don't let the man keep you down, KZ.
Also, that light bulb will kill you.
Ah!